Take your Bibles, if you will, with me, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. We have already visited this, but it has a direct relevance to why we're here tonight and what you hope to accomplish during the week and just your time with the Lord, as Brother Jerry prayed just a few minutes ago. All right. Now, my voice tends to carry. And so if I see you turning down hearing aids or putting things in your ears, I know I'm a little loud. So fellas in the back, if I'm too loud, I tend to get in that mode of, 400 decibels. And I don't intend to do that, but if it is a little loud, if you'll let me know, all right? How many of you are having trouble hearing me? Right. Not a bit. All right. What? All right. I'll speak a little louder for you, Brother Larry. You can stone him afterwards, all right. But seriously, if it does get too loud, and I know these folks right up here, Becky's right over there, so sweetheart, if you'll just kind of give me the word if it gets a little loud, because I tend to do that sometimes. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's dealing with why we're here tonight. And when we have things we don't understand, I had someone tell me this afternoon. He said, preacher, he said that when... It was a business here in town, and we got to talking and had a delightful discussion with these folks. And Becky was there with me, and just a delightful discussion. And he was talking about some things reared in a different denomination, and just talking about, there's some things that I don't understand because of the teaching of the denomination, and some things in the Bible I don't understand. And I just kind of just take it. And I bring it over to the way he put it is I put it into a box that's called the mysteries of God. Now, the truth is, you and I will never come to a place until we see Jesus face to face. And God takes away the handicaps of a finite mind. And we don't know how broad our understanding will be in heaven, but certainly it'll be far more than here because of the capacities that'll be enhanced in the absence of the flesh that would counsel us otherwise or in another way from the Word of God. So all that to say this, that none of us have arrived at perfect knowledge. However, that is what God wants us to do, is in a progression of moving in that place. And last time, it may have been Sunday, but I believe it was last Wednesday night, we talked about that, and maybe it was on a Sunday service, because we talked about how many of you have had a time that have been saved for a decade or two that you realized, that maybe he was talking about the love of God. I believe that was the subject. That you knew the love of God when you were saved 5, 10 years, whatever it was. But those of you who've been saved 20, 30, 40 years because of living by faith and exercising faith and watching all that God does, that broadens your understanding of the love of God. Everybody remember that? Okay, good. Well, it's the same thing here with the knowledge of God. That the Bible says that as our faith, it worketh knowledge. It says, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. As we add to our faith virtue, doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason in the right place, and then because we did that which was virtuous, God worked in our lives, and from that point on for the rest of our lives, we have experiential knowledge. And that's what we're talking about here, is saying, Lord, I have this box called mysteries. And truly, there are going to be some things that I may never understand. But dear Lord, you didn't design it that way for me to stay where I was when I first got saved, a babe in Christ, until I go up to be with Jesus. You gave me the opportunity from the Word of God. You gave me the ability in the Word of God to grow in my knowledge of you. And so that's what we're talking about here. So we're just going to kind of hop, skip, and jump through this text because we visited before. But I think it's really important for Andy Bray and for these I love. And these are listening by way of radio and viewing by way of, not radio, but live stream. As you're with us in that way, God doesn't want you to stay where you are. Oh my. I believe I've mentioned to you about the little fella at Miracle Hill Children's Home. Did I do that? Have I done that? Not really. Okay, years and years ago when I was in the academy at Bob Jones, when I was my first or second year in the academy, they took us to the Miracle Children's Home, Miracle Hill Children's Home, which by that at that time was different than it is now. It's a different facility. But we went in there. It was a bunch of high school guys and gals. And we went in there to sing to the young people who were bedridden and so forth. And so we did. And I was happened to be the last one in line. And as we walked down the hallway, I can still see it. As we're walking down the hallway, and they turned with the lady guiding us. They turned into a room where there was a number of beds with boys and I don't know if they're boys and girls, but young people in there with all different kinds of handicaps. But as we were going in that direction, I noticed this barrel on the outside, just outside of the room. And as I looked at the barrel, being a teenage boy, curiosity's got the better of me. And it had a plexiglass over the top. It wasn't just like a 50-gallon drum, but it would look like a 50-gallon drum to me. And it just had plexiglass over the top. Why would they do that? Why is that in the hallway? That's goofy. I bet it's to keep utensils clean. If they're doing something with one of these children, they have to have sterile. That's what it is. And so as we got up there, and I tarried back just a little bit to satisfy my curiosity, and as I looked in, here was a little boy. He had no arms. He had no legs. It was just a torso and a head. I don't know what kind of expression I had, but I know what kind of expression he had that day. He smiled from ear to ear. Somebody noticed him. I wish I could have said it that I did so because I wanted to be a blessing to him. I may have had shock on my face. I don't know. But what's obvious in that is that little fella never developed. Part of him did. His heart was just fine, evidently, and some other things were just fine, but I don't know if it was an iron lung. I don't know exactly what it was, why he was in that encasement, but he was as live as you and I are tonight. But he never developed spiritually. Let me bring it to home now. I dare say that it could be stated without contradiction that there's a world of folks in the body of Christ who truly know the Lord as their Savior, and yet they never develop. They're not in an iron lung, but they're in that setting in life in which to grow, everything necessary for growth has been abandoned. They're not in the Word of God. They're not exercising what God's given to them when they studied the Word of God. They take it like a textbook. Okay, I gotta go to math class, I'll study math. I gotta go to history class, I gotta study history. I go to Sunday school, I gotta be there. And that's all there is to it. That's not God's will. There's a world of marriages. Gave some notes to someone today or yesterday. Yesterday. A preacher who's gonna be doing some counseling and did some yesterday. And so I shared some of my notes with him and to where he could use it in that particular setting. And the object of that is when a marriage, and this one's in horrible shape, and I don't know who it is, but his testimony is in horrible shape and so forth. We won't go into all that. But the point is that the way my notes are structured is to where it accentuates the fact of here's what God requires of a husband. Boom, 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 boom. Scoop. Boom, 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 boom. These are not suggestions. These are what God requires. Boom, 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 boom. Chick. Boom, 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 boom. Here's what God requires of a wife. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, boom, boom. It's just all through the Word of God. These are Bible principles. And so I think I've mentioned before, but it's a little study I did on God's plan, Satan's plan, and my plan. Here's God's plan. Boom, all of these. Here's Satan's plan, because the Bible says that when I would do good, evil is present with me. There's going to be a temptation that's going to try to remove God's plan from being my plan. So here's God's plan. My responsibility is to take God's plan, move it over, and make it my plan. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is all about. Okay? But if I don't do that, it'll slide the other way, and it's the flesh that's ruling. So I know no one in here is like that tonight, but every once in a while, Randy Bray finds myself going, oh, Bray, what are you thinking? Why, you said, you did, you, whatever it was. And the Holy Spirit pricks my heart. Or I'm about to do something, and the Holy Spirit pricks my heart, and yours too. So let's look at it very quickly. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And like I said, we're just going to hop, skip, and jump. But look at verse number 5. Would you do that with me, please? He says that your faith, what kind of faith is he talking about? Faith in God, and faith through what? Salvation, right? Okay, an unsaved individual cannot, he can only exercise faith, saving faith, when he comes to that realization of what Christ did. But he's speaking here to Christians. He's speaking that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of whom? Okay, that was a nice ensemble, ladies. All right, frogs among us. All right, let's try it again. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of? There we go. Oh, that was wonderful. I may do that again. That was good. All right. Should not stand the wisdom of men, but in the what? Now, how does that happen? The next several verses tell you about the contradiction of influences that we can have in our lives. It's either going to be of God or it's going to be of flesh. And it's going to be, well, how do we understand, how do we access God's wisdom in our lives? All right, look at verse number 10, if you will. Well, let's look at 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Oftentimes we kind of stretch the context on that. And it does have an application, no doubt about it. The things that God wants to do in my life and the provisions he wants to get, the protections that he wants to provide, those are beyond anything that we can comprehend. Amen or no? Amen, yes. But when you look at the context here, he's talking about the things God wants to reveal to us. So it has more to do with our experiential knowledge, our faith-based knowledge, that knowledge that comes by exercising faith in what God requires of us, what God tells us he wants to do with us, when it doesn't make sense or when we don't understand it, but we know it's the will of God, so we move forward in it. And he says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, hath heard. Neither hath it entered the heart of man all the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Now let's look at the next verse, verse 10. But God hath revealed, or as Brother Ron would say, but God. I like that. He did that in Sunday school a few weeks ago. I haven't gotten over it yet. But God. I'm going to do a study on that one of these days. All the places where it says, but God. Is Brother Ron in here? He's a little fella. I don't even see it. There he is back there. All right. But God. There we go.
Here I
am. All right. And my microphone's saying the same thing. Here I is. I'm staying with you. All right. Okay, let's go. Verse number 10. But God hath revealed them. What? The things that I hath not seen or ear heard, neither hath entered the heart of man, all the things that God hath prepared for him. But God hath revealed them unto us by whom? Oh, I'm going to ask you to do that again, not because you didn't do it well. That was an excellent response. But I need to be reminded of that. Bray's cognitive abilities, my mental acumen, it's right on the chart. I won't tell you where it is on the chart. Kind of a humiliating thought. But it's not up to my abilities of thought and logic and wisdom. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now, you remember Philippians chapter 4? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. What's the next phrase? Against such, there is no what? There is no cap. There is no law restricting what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in our lives. So that as my sister here, my brother back there, my sister over here, as this guy, as I come to the place and I'm right up at the top of what Randy Bray can understand. And my ability in and of myself to go beyond that is about like Randy Bray's ability to grow to 6'3", 6'2" maybe. But not 6'3". No, it's not my ability. But those things that if I'm not careful, I will find the box of the mysteries of God and I'll just accept that that's something I'll never understand because it's one of the mysteries of God. Therefore, I don't even research it from the Word of God. When the whole time God's saying, the Holy Spirit's saying, wait a minute, Chris, it's right here. It's right there. Just read it. Wait a minute, Miss Linda. It's right there. Just read it. But if my brother Chris or Miss Linda or certainly this guy, if I just say, well, I don't understand it, but I'll never understand it, so I'm just going to trust what Brother Bray says. Or I'm just going to trust what Brother Mintz says. Or I'm just going to trust what brother or sister, instead of saying, wait a minute, it's true. It is very true. I may not ever understand it. I may not. But when it comes to the I may not, it needs to be I cannot. It's not in my ability. And coupled with that, like two wheels on a bicycle, if I come to a place where I cannot and it's not revealed to me, then the reason it cannot, it's not because I'm not studying it in the Word of God. I still don't understand it. And I study it a different way and I still don't understand it. And I go before the Holy Spirit and I say, Holy Spirit, I don't understand it. And if it comes to a place where I still cannot, then the first wheel is my abilities. The second wheel on that tandem endeavor, like two wheels on a bicycle, is the Holy Spirit saying, no, Randy, I'm going to let you live by faith in that. One day it'll be revealed. Maybe it's a week from now. Maybe it's a year from now. Maybe it won't be until glory. But I'm going to let you live where you are right now without the presence of the knowledge of that, so that you have to live by faith, trusting me in your word. Now know what it says. See what it says, if you will, please. He says, for what knoweth a man the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth, that's a deep theological, grammatical, historical word. What's the next word? No. That's pretty inclusive, isn't it? So the things of God knoweth how many? No man. Oh, but what's the next word? Okay, the next word is knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words with man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Oh, here we go. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Oh, you know what that's saying? God takes what he's already revealed to me. And when it's consistent with his will in my life at that juncture where I am in spiritual knowledge, he's going to take what I already know and he's going to use that as the springboard. He's going to use that as the introduction. He's going to use that to help me to begin to understand with his enlightenment. He's going to help me understand what I need to know for tomorrow's journey. Okay? But Randy Bray has been foolish sometimes, and I dare say that each would have that testimony. Where we become satisfied where we are, because when I look at Randy Bray's life 20 years ago, back here, and I look at my life in my studies and my walk with, I look at my studies and I look and I know so much. I look at the difference between where I was and where I am. Oh, substantial growth. If I'm not careful, I will plane out. I will level out, and I will continue to compare myself with myself. And the Bible says if I do that, I'm foolish. I'm void of wisdom. What I need to do is figure out where I am in my spiritual life and say, okay, Lord, it says here that the Spirit compareth, he teaches me by comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So that means I need to know where I am, but I also don't know what I don't know. That makes sense? I don't know what I don't know spiritually. And so, Lord, I need your help. So, Lord, I'm not satisfied. I'm hungry today. Please feed me from thy word. Okay? So with that, let's look at verse number 15 and we'll quit with that text. But he that is spiritual, what does he do? All things, right? Judgeth all things. Oh, there's a filtering system here. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. I listened with delight as Brother Gary was telling me just yesterday, I believe it was, how that you take seawater and you put it through a process, and he's built several of them. You take seawater and you can put it through a system whereby it turns it into potable water or drinking water. It is drinking water, is that right, brother? To where you can do that, all right? And he was able to explain to me, and I understood every bit of it.
Wink, wink.
All right? I got it down. I'm going to go home tonight and build one of those things. All right? But the point is this. They take one body of water, and in it are contaminants. Some of it may not be contaminated or you know, change your way of life if you drink it, but it just isn't what you need to have in clear, clean drinking water. So there's a system of filters that you go through and a number of other processes. Notice what he says here, but he that is spiritual, he filters, he judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Now you and I have visited that before, but tonight as we look at the types of the Holy Spirit, we're going to start tonight afresh with oil. And we're going to talk about oil as a type or a symbol, an analogy, so to speak, a little bit better than that, but it's a type of the Holy Spirit. And so as we look at that and say, all right, now how is the Holy Spirit working in my life somewhat like oil? All right, so let me give you several things as we look at it. All right, let me get to where I am here. We've already looked at wind and fire. Now let's look at oil. All right. So if those of you taking notes, the primary overemphasis or the overriding emphasis of oil is that of consecration. Would somebody do this for me? Would you look up Psalm 133, verse number 2? Who would do that for me? Psalm 133, verse 2. Old Testament. Yes, sir. All right. Psalm 133, verse 2. And this is an abbreviated form of how oil was used in the Old Testament. Sometimes with prophets, sometimes with priests, sometimes with kings. They would do it in certain ways with their garments. They would sprinkle their garments. But when a prophet or a priest, a king, was initially anointed with oil, it was a very special oil. It was not an oil that was used for cooking. It was not an oil that was used for even as we have today. A lot of times you'll see preachers where James says, if any be among you are sick, he says, let him call the elders and so forth and be anointed, all right, with oil. And so you'll go to the Bible bookstore sometimes and you'll go in and there will be anointing oil. And it's basically olive oil or something like that in a little canister, sometimes a little bottle kind of a thing. And you put it on the individual and it's no healing in that oil, but rather it is coming together and asking God's healing. All right, Psalm 133, 2. Who has that? Please. Okay, so would you do it one more time real loudly for us, please? Amen. Here's what happened as our brother has read. And you're probably fully familiar with this. But when a prophet was going to be anointed, they would take the oil, special oil. I was going to go into it. It's, let's see, where have I got it? Exodus chapter 30, verses 23 through 33. It goes into detail how they were to make this special oil. So what would happen is when a prophet or a priest was going to be anointed, they would take the oil and they would pour it on his head. And the instruction is, and maybe in the Talmud or in the Mishnah, I'm not sure exactly about that, but they would pour it on his head, and what was to happen is that oil was to come down on his beard. Okay? I tell you what, I've got a little oil with me. Brother, no, I don't really. I was going to say, Brother Corallo, you'd be a perfect... And he said, you're not getting anywhere close to my beard. All right. But what was to happen is they would pour it on the head, and it was not just a little drop. It was enough that it would run down onto his beard, onto his robes, all the way down, and if I remember correctly, even down upon his feet. Why? Did they want him to get oily? What's the purpose of that? No, it was to say total consecration. When a priest would go in to do his work as a priest of the tabernacle or a priest of the temple, he was required to go in. He would take off his clothing that he would normally wear when he was at home or doing something else. He was required to put on linen garments, clean linen garments. He was to be clean himself, put on linen garments. He was to do his work. When he finished with that work, he didn't just say, well, I'll take it to the cleaners. He was required while there to remove those garments from his office and to put on the other clothes that would not represent him as being doing the work of God at that time. In much of the same fashion, but even more so, if I could put it that way, this oil was to pour all over him so that he would know, my beard goes where I go. My ears go where I go. My hands, whatever that oil touches, I may have the linen garments on, I may not have the linen garments on. But I represent God to his people. And I represent his people to God. And so as you and I look at this matter of the oil being a type of the Holy Spirit, is that that is absolutely, and we could use the word consecration here. There's many a Christian who has, like in the old times when my brother was famous, when we didn't go very often to Oak Creek Canyon and outside of Phoenix. I grew up in Phoenix, basically, up to the eighth grade. And once in a while, we would go to Oak Creek Canyon as a family camping trip. And the water there is, I don't know how what the coldest of water can be before it's frozen, but it's somewhat close to that, all right? And Jim would go, all right, come on, Randy. And I was just a little squirt, and he was a big squirt. And he's 5 years older. And he'd go, and he'd run and run and run. And he'd just, whoa, he'd throw himself in. I did that one time. And Peter and I are the only ones who've walked on water, all right? Okay, so as I jumped in that one time, after that time, that was my one and total life experience with jumping in to Oak Creek Canyon water. What I would do is I would go and I would just go, it's cold. And then I'd get my toes used to it and I'd get my ankles used to it and so forth. There's many a Christian, and I've been that way, that when it comes to consecration to the Lord, total consecration, there's no oil on the head, on the shoulders, on the hips, on the feet. There's no oil there. There's no inviting the Holy Spirit to take care of me all the way through, to examine every ambition, every motive, every garment I wear, every word that I speak. Is it all according to biblical principle? Is there anything that I'm doing, saying, yeah, I'm pursuing, I'm holding in my heart that violates Bible principle? And that's why he talks here about the oil being a type of the Holy Spirit. You remember Ephesians 5, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess? I think we talked about that recently. I'm teaching classes, and so I get confused as what I taught in class and what I've taught here, so I don't want to put you through the same things every time. But Ephesians 5:23, I think I did mention that here, did I? Be not drunk with wine where is excess. All right, drunk means intoxicated, excess means debauchery. But notice what he says. In contradistinction to, don't have that. Don't put that in your life. In absolute contrast, he says, but be filled, ooh, to overflowing. You're not going to get intoxicated to where you do not have logical thought. You do not have any of, you're not encumbered because of the lack of cognitive abilities. No, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's why we talk about oil being a type of the Holy Spirit, totally inundated, totally, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, kind of a thing. All right? We won't go into all the other uses. Well, let me just give you four of them. One was oil was prepared, as I mentioned. It gave light when burning to know God. And it's talking about the oil that was used in the candlestick there in the tabernacle and in the temple. And so oil there gave light when burning to know God. Oil was mixed with the meat or the meal offering and in the cleansing of lepers. That was one of the regulations when they came back and to discover whether or not they were clean again. Okay, and once it was determined they were clean. Oil heals, Luke 10:34, and oil lubricates. And we could talk about Hebrews and Isaiah and some other places. All right, so enough of that. All right, we're doing well. Let's go to water then. So we've already seen the types of the Holy Spirit being wind and fire and now oil. And now let's go to the next one, and that would be water. All right, let's get some more reading here. Who will look up John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39? Somebody on this side. John 7, 37, 39. I think you were first, Brother Chris. All right, let's go to this side over here. John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. John 4, verses 13, Yemis Kuro, okay? Let's see. John chapter, let's see, let's skip that. Let's see. Let's go to... Well, let's just stay with those for the moment, okay? Let's just stay with those for the moment. Then we're going to go to Ephesians 5 again. All right? Let's see. Who had, let's see, John chapter 7 and verse 37 through 39, I believe it was Brother Chris. Real loudly, if you will, please.
In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified.
Okay. So this is one of the reasons I believe that while Jesus was here, it was a transition period for the New Testament church. The New Testament church wouldn't really be inaugurated in its fullness until Pentecost. But here you have the Lord Jesus who's still walking in Jerusalem or in Judea or wherever he was, in Galilee or Samaria or wherever he was. But he was saying, do you still have that, Brother Chris? All right, now think with me. He's going to reference when the Holy Spirit does come, but he's not here yet. So with that in mind, if you'll listen one more time, please.
In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow the rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified.
Okay. So John is obviously writing this after Jesus died, was resurrected, and ascended. So the historical record that he's given here is what Jesus said. So Jesus said, believe on me. Okay, that's, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Who said that? Jesus. Am I talking too loudly? Okay, sounds like I am. All right, so I'm not. So he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He was speaking of himself. But then he said, when that happens, rivers of living water shall flow out of your what? Out of your belly, your innermost being. Even to this day, down in other countries, Latin America and other countries, they refer to the heart. I love the Lord with all of my, sometimes they'll say liver. Sometimes they'll say other organs of the inside of your body. Why? Because it's who I am. This is the inside of me, okay? And Jesus is saying that if you'll believe on me, here's what's going to happen. And he's telling them, without them understanding it, that when Pentecost comes, the Holy Spirit is going to indwell you, okay? And he refers to that as rivers of living water. Now, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life, is that a fact of being there? No, it's not. You have to have the Lord Jesus in your life, and once you believe on Christ, trust Him as your Savior, then immediately the Holy Spirit's a part of your life. Who has John 4, verses 13 and 14? What a passage. Yes, ma'am.
Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water
Hallelujah. Amen. Now let me ask you a question. When was the last time that you sensed the presence of God so real, it was welling up in you? Answer to prayer. Victory over temptation. Something from the Word of God that you've never seen before, and it just leaped from the pages. That ought to be a regular occurrence. I'm not saying that we ought to, as they're talking about with those who do surfing, and they're at the leading edge, and they're maybe in the tunnel, as I lived in California. And they talk about the tunnel, and the water's over them. They're kind of where the water's here, and the tunnel is here, and they're going to surf their way right out of that, the leading edge of it. We're not talking about being on the leading edge of Christianity, and I've got to have an emotional high, and I've got to say this, and I've got to do that, so I know that I'm being filled with the Spirit. You don't have to do that. Matter of fact, you're looking for the wrong thing. Sometimes the being absolutely filled with the Spirit is in the quietness of your own heart and life when you've got the Word of God in front of you. And it's rich. And you almost want to get Baptist and just, I can't stand it, it's so good. It is just rich. And it's just what I needed. When you have that, and he was saying it to the woman at Samaria, wasn't he? The well there. And the woman had led a promiscuous life. And yet the Lord sought her out. He says, the water that I give you, and it's the water of the Spirit of God that works in and through us. And so it sure is an encouragement. Let's take our Bibles real very quickly. I'm determined to finish so that we have time for prayer tonight, all right? And I appreciate Brother Mintz being willing to abbreviate our song service. We love to sing, and I know you do and I do too, and I look forward to it. But I think one of the reasons we come on Wednesday nights to pray with one another and for one another. Amen? And I don't want to disappoint that at all. Not that I'm here to just say, well, I want everybody to think I'm a great guy. And that, no, I mean, I don't want you to be disappointed that you couldn't pray with your brothers and sisters and come boldly before the throne of grace. Not in arrogance, but in absolute confidence. And that's a neat thing. That is a great thing. All right, Ephesians chapter 5. All right, husbands, love your wives. This is the last part of the chapter. Let's see, was it 23? No, 25. He says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. We've talked about that. That ought to be a lifelong study, fellas, for you and for me. Okay? Just because you've been married decades and beyond that, you know, just quite a while, you don't know what you don't know, nor do I. Okay, so husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Okay, notice the next word, that. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ, even as Christ loved the church. So did Christ love those in the world before the world was created? Yeah, created salvation's plan. So he loved the church. Does he love lost sinners? Absolutely. But this institution, this organism called the New Testament church, oh, does he love it? Says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Yes, he did. And gave himself for it. And why did he do that? Why did he give himself for it? Oh, notice the next word. That, for this reason. That he, Christ, might, what's the next word? Sanctify it. And what? And cleanse it with the washing of water by the what? By the word. So as you and I consider the water, the Holy Spirit, a type of the Holy Spirit being water, and it's kind of in a different reference here, and yet we see when God thinks of water and he thinks of us, and he thinks, as we heard from John chapter 4 and the other chapter that our brother read. Let's see, where was it? John 7 and then John 4. We can go to other passages. But it's the water that's symbolizing the Holy Spirit and the free-flowing water. And that's why I wanted to go to Ephesians 5. He says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it, set it apart. It's not a little bit of world and a little bit of Holy Spirit guidance. It's not like Randy putting his feet into Oak Creek Canyon Lake and going, oh, it's too cold for right now. I think I'll come back this afternoon and let the water heat up a little bit more. And, oh, I can go up to my ankle now. It's comfortable there. No. He says that he might sanctify. That means to set apart. I'm going to take my notes and I'm setting them apart from the podium. They're not in the same locale. God's will for Randy Bray 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 6 months from now, a month from now is not to be like I am today. Nor for you. He says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church, gave himself, that he might sanctify it, set apart by the washing of water by the word. Dear friend, when you and I think about the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts and lives, guess how he does it? By the word. 2 Corinthians, you're in Ephesians, but let's go to 2 Corinthians. And again, another text that we have visited before, but we'll visit 100 times more. If God allows me that privilege. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. With this brief thought, we'll finish our study for the night. But what a thought that Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you take the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. As we think about the other subject that, oh, just going on in free-flowing water, and then we think about Ephesians 5, that he might sanctify it and wash it by the water of the Word. And then we realize it's the Word that the Holy Spirit is going to use to wash us, to wash away the impurities, to wash in those things that just are conducive to Christian growth, to maturity in Christ, to being used of God some way every day, instead of just having a religious feeling like I did something good today. If we're not careful, we'll fall prey to the same things that people do in other countries, even here in America. And so many times a day, they will...
did it.
Or they will go to the altar and they will simply bow at that altar. And they'll worship whatever it is they're worshiping. Do you think when they get up from their knees that they go, I'm such a heathen, look what I did. I got down 5 times a day and I did that. And when you're in Jerusalem, you hear the call out and these people, they get up and go, I did it again. No, they feel good. I did what I was supposed to do. I did what my priest or whatever it is said I was supposed to do, and I pleased God. Do they not? Am I right or wrong? Yeah, they absolutely do. And if we're not careful, we'll sing in the choir and say, I feel good about that. We'll preach a message behind a pulpit. I feel good about that. We'll work in the sound room. I feel good about that. And there's nothing wrong with singing in the choir. Everything right about that. Everything right about working in the sound room or preaching behind a pulpit. But it's why we're doing it that makes the difference. And if we're doing it for the right reason, we'll also do it in the right way. To where it's not a light shining on Bray or on Jury or on Corallo or on whatever the name is. It'll be a light shining on Christ. Because that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does, is it not? He doesn't speak of himself. And when you and I listen to the Holy Spirit, whether it's fire or water or oil or whatever type that we are thinking about at the moment, different applications. But when we listen to him, intently so, what a difference that makes. It makes the words come out correctly. As let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be what? What's the next word? Acceptable. Where? To Bray? No. Acceptable where? In thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Whether we're talking about this medium, we're talking about eyes, we're talking about sensory things, whatever it is, that when you and I are led by the Spirit and not by the flesh, Galatians chapter 5 says, ye shall not, air subjunctive in the negative, forgive the clarification there, but that's very emphatic. It means it isn't going to happen. When we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, it says, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That is sanctification. That's being set apart for the glory of God. And when you and I say, Holy Spirit, I love you, I love you, I love you today. I don't remember with whom I was speaking yesterday. It may have been the night before. Sunday night, after I left here, Becky can tell you, I spent maybe 3 hours on the phone with different folks. Three different folks. I don't remember with whom it was now. It was either today or yesterday. And I said, when you're praying about this, go directly to the Holy Spirit. Pray the Father, yes, and the Lord Jesus, no doubt about it. But this is the kind of enlightenment you're going to need. I don't even remember why now. But this is the kind of enlightenment you're going to need. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth in this. My sister, is it Ann or Annie? Annie. My sister Annie, you're going to need this. Sister, you're going to need it. Brother, you're going to need it. Sister, you're going to need it. But isn't it good to know that's what he wants to do? He's not hiding it. He's not going to say, oh, catch me if you can. He's the one in your heart that confirms with your spirit that you are the Son of God, the child of God. And when we do, oh, it's victory. In the midst of trial or in the midst of glorious settings, it's the same Holy Spirit who will guide you into all truth. I pray that that'll be the case with Randy Bray and with these I love and these who've joined us tonight by way of live stream. Let's ask God to help us to understand fire and oil and water and clothing and the dove and just all different types of the Holy Spirit, different settings in life. His counsel appears in different ways. Sometimes it's like fire. Better pay attention. Sometimes it's like a dove. A gentle peace and kindness. And, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. And the better we know these types, the more we will respond appropriately and acknowledge it was the Holy Spirit that did it. And what a joy that is. I hope you'll follow through. Pray for me that I will.